about the blessed hope, the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ coming back again. How often do we think about that?
Well, the Bible tells us to think on it regularly because that is our hope. And when I say hope, it's not a hope that we think about today. I hope it's going to be sunny tomorrow. I hope that Wickham stay in the, well, they get promoted to the championship. But in a biblical sense, hope is a certainty in the future. And the Bible says that that is an anchor to our souls. It stabilizes the heart. We need that to be in our heart because we live in a world that is unstable. We live in a world that's falling apart. So when we have that anchor, it gives us certainty. I don't know whether, you must have noticed what's going on in the world at the moment. Every time I wake up, I can see the stage being set for the end times. And I wake up another day and I see even more of the stage being set. Many things are going to happen in the end times. That's going to affect the church. The Bible talks about the things that are going to affect the church, things that concern Israel. It's going to be a tumultuous time of change and changes in the administration. In other words, the grace that we're under at the moment will finally come to an end when our Lord Jesus Christ comes back and ushers in that thousand-year reign. There's going to be a time when he picks up the nation of Israel again, and they will be like they were in the Old Testament, a nation before God. But at the moment, this is still man's day. You know, the dominion the devil still has over man at this time. But there is a day coming where that thousand-year reign will take place. And after that, the new heaven and the new earth. So as we rightly divide the word of God, we can start to see how this is going to play out. The biggest event is the gathering together. Some people call it the rapture. This can happen in our lifetime. When we look into Bible prophecy, it seems like it's just all coming together. But it's in the Father's hands when he does it. When he comes back, Jesus comes back, we will be with him forever. So that hope needs to be in our heart. Ephesians 1:18, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints. God has an inheritance in us. God is coming back for his church, who he promises to inherit and offer up eternal life and offers immortality. God has an inheritance in you. Paul was praying that you may know these things, know the hope of your calling. The word there means to perceive mentally. See, the devil likes to change the words and the meaning of words. Hope, again, he doesn't want you to understand that it's something that is a certainty. Oh, it might happen. And he doesn't want you to know when it's going to happen. He wants you to be confused and then not be certain whether it's going to take place or not. Our Lord will come back. So Paul in Ephesians is praying to the saints to perceive in our hearts the hope of what God has called them to and to understand what will happen ultimately at the gathering together. 2 Thessalonians 2:1. Now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and are being gathered up together in him, we ask you, brothers, not to be easily unsettled or alarmed. You know that word there, gathering together, it comes from the Greek, episynagogi. The synagogi comes from the word synagogue, a gathering together, where the Jews used to come together. The verb synagogi means to gather up. Just like fishermen would gather up the fish in his net, the Father would gather up the harvest. So this gathering is when Christ returns with his angels to gather the church. An example, episynagogi, is when we are doing, this is what we're doing this morning. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as in the manner of some, but exhort one another. and so much more as we see that day approaching. So the coming together there comes from that. This is a type of a shadow to come. As we come together in the morning, we're coming, we're gathering together in the same way that we will be gathered unto Christ. But notice it says there, as you see the day approaching. I don't know about you, can you see it approaching? I sense an urgency in my spirit. I can see what is going on. Are we ready to meet the Lord? Peter said, what manner of person should you ought to be? Should hasten the day of the Lord. The Lord hasten doesn't mean we can bring it a day closer. It means give all diligence for us to prepare our hearts for that event. Not leaving things undone, but ready to meet the Lord. Paul prayed that we are not to be moved away from the hope of the gospel. In Colossians 1, 22, 23, this was the Lord's will. In the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. If, see there's a condition attached here, indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, am a minister. Hebrews 9:28. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time. See, when Jesus comes back, it's not going to be concerning sin and salvation in that sense, but he's coming back to bring about the full salvation, to take you into glory. Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a work, a good work, that's you being born again, being spirit-filled, having the word in you, it's begun and will be complete until the day of Jesus Christ. The rapture is called the day of Jesus Christ. Don't know whether you've noticed in the word, but you have the day of the Lord and you have the day of Jesus Christ. The day of Jesus Christ is when he comes back for his church, the gathering together. See, we are his fruit of his inheritance. We are like a garden. We are the planted seed, energized by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord is nurturing us into Christ. His winnowing fan in his hand, and will be thoroughly clean out of the threshing floor and gather his wheat into a barn, but will burn up the chaff and unquenchable fire. Type, this is a figure of speech again, that we are the fruit. We're seen as the harvest that Jesus is coming back for. Gathers us in as a harvest. 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. We are God's inheritance. But there are other judgments for those that haven't put their trust in Jesus. These are fire judgments coming upon the nations. But we are not appointed to wrath. Isn't that good news? Come on, we're not. If you read that book of Revelation and you see the judgments in that book, the bowl judgments, the whole world is going to be shaken. But isn't it encouraging that we are not appointed to wrath as a church, that we will escape those great judgments, the second part of the tribulation, the great tribulation? 1 Thessalonians 4:13 to 17. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with the shout of the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Can I comfort with you these words with you today? Is that okay? This is taking place. This will happen. Remember in Revelation when Jesus comes to the Father and takes the scroll, then that plan is unfolded. Can you imagine the joy in heaven when that happens, when Jesus takes the scroll? There's joy in heaven when one person, when you were baptized, there was angels in heaven rejoicing. Can you imagine on this day when Jesus comes back with the angels and comes back for his church, the rejoicing that will take place in that day? So the rapture, the snatching up, in the Greek it's called habazo. But can you imagine what would it be like in this world when the beast is reigning and just the evil that goes on? 1 Corinthians 15, 51-53 says, behold, in other words, focus, take a look. I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For corruptible will put on incorruption, and mortal must put on immortality. Notice, how quick will this happen, and when will it happen? We can ask. Well, it says here, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, it's going to be that quick, it will happen that quick, that you won't even notice. Now, I heard it said, well, it can happen at any time, but that's not quite what it's saying here. It's saying the actual event can happen at any time. But it also tells us when it will happen. Do we know when it will happen? It says here, at the last trumpet. So if we work out when the last trumpet is, then we know when it will happen. Coming back to how the change will take place, you know, the scripture, Paul talks about this being a mystery that was hidden from the beginning. This is a mystery. No, everybody could understand that, but it's a mystery that we can understand and obtain to. Verse 33, this corruption puts on incorruption. If we're still alive, mortal takes on immortality. So there's two different things that are happening, but the end result is the same change, that we take on immortality. When we're raised, we will take on that resurrection body that our Lord Jesus Christ had. Remember when Jesus could do things when he was risen by the Father? He walked around, he could walk through walls. That's the resurrection body that he had. That same resurrection body that we will once have. And then from the resurrection body, when we're in heaven, we get a glorified body. The glory is even better. For those that have ailments, isn't that something to look forward to? I think all of us over a certain age, we can wake up in the morning and there's aches and stuff. I've got to a point now where I've got sciatica, and unless I'm getting out of the car and walking around, I can't function like I used to. So there is a hope that one day that we're going to have a new body. The Bible says actually that it's a vile body in a sense because it's subject to sin. But again, when we meditate on these truths and these promises, there is a hope in our hearts that can remain. 2 Philippians 3, 20-21. This is Paul speaking. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, we were just talking about, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able to even subdue all things. Notice here, Jesus can subdue all things. Why? Because he was given all a power and authority by the Father, and the purpose to bring about the immortality plan. So what is that? Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, when Jesus comes back, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Isn't that a great hope? So when's the timing? Well, as we've just heard, last trumpet. When we look in Revelations, the book of Revelations, Thessalonians, Gospels that all talk about trumpets. We even sung about trumpets, didn't we, today? Revelation talks about seven trumpets during a time of that tribulation. In other words, that time of mental pressure. You know, when things get ramped up. If you think it's bad, you ain't seen anything yet. You know, when Satan, there's going to be, the devil's going to get so angry because he knows his time is short, that he's going to ramp things up. And the Bible talks about that as being Satan's wrath. But then, as I mentioned, there's also God's wrath that we're not subject to, where we will escape that. And the Bible even tells us in Matthew 24:22, and unless those days were shortened, no flesh will be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. It will be that bad that God would have to intervene. Otherwise, everything would be destroyed. Yeah, just imagine those bold judgments and the earth convulsing. Revelation 8:2, and I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them given seven trumpets. Revelation 8:6, so the seven angels who had seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Revelation 10:7, but in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound the mystery of God. Coming back to that, the mystery. The mystery is what Paul mentioned about the Christ in us, the great mystery, and the mystery of how Jesus will come back. And that immortality will be given to those that are mortal, incorruption to those that are corrupted. The mystery of God will be finished as he declared to the servants and prophets. Those prophets, as I mentioned, New Testament prophets, Paul was given that understanding. Colossians 2:2, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love and attaining to all riches of full assurance of understanding. So the knowledge of the mystery of God, both the Father and of Christ. So this is when Jesus is taking up his rulership office. Revelation 11:15, then the seventh angel sounding, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Amen. The day of Christ. And then comes the day of the Lord. Matthew 24:31, and I will send his angels with great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout of the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. How often do we think about these things? The hope that we have, that God has planned from the foundation of the world, that the church age will come to an end, and that we will be with the Lord forever, and that we will escape everything in the wrath of God. That's why you see so much stress, so many people falling into depression, falling into despair, because they can see this world, and then they've got no control over what's going on, and it's all going in the wrong direction. But when you have this hope in your heart, when you know that the Lord is at work and he's in control, and that he's already told us the plan that he has, that really anchors our hearts. As it gets worse and worse, if you know that Jesus Christ one day will come back, and he even tells you at one point, the seventh trumpet, work out. Open the book of Revelation. You have the seal judgments, you have the trumpet judgments, and you have the bowl judgments. And at what point is the seventh trumpet? Well, I can go into detail, but that's something for another time. But if you've got a rough idea, then you know what's ahead. Nobody knows the hour, but you know it's going to be a certainty. And another angel came out of the temple crying with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, thrust your sickle and reap, for the time has come for you to reap. The harvest of the earth is ripe. And then he will send his angels and gather together. This is Mark 13:27.
And he will send his angels and mark together his elect from the four winds and the farthest part of the earth and the furthest part of heaven. See, that's the first reaping when he comes back for the church. But there's also a second reaping. That's of the bad fruit. These are of the wicked ones. In Revelation 14:19, an angel swung his sickle onto the earth and gathered the vintage of the earth and threw it into the great winepress of the fury of God. You know, we're not appointed for wrath, but God is going to pour out his anger. Now, it doesn't say in the Bible that the Lord is angry every day with the wicked. Well, it's going to come a point he's going to get so angry. He actually, can you picture that? In a winepress, just pressing down on those that have been wicked and in their rebellion turned away. But to us, to which we are called by our gospel. This is Paul speaking about our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's gospel. You know, there's different gospels, isn't there? You've got the gospels of the kingdom of God. You've got the gospel of God, death, burial, and resurrection. But here, Paul's talking about the gospel of something that was revealed to him, the mystery that was revealed to him of being one in Christ, that we are now one man, one body, and the hope of the glory of Christ in us, the hope of glory. Oh, what is that glory? Glorification. That one day that we will be glorified, just as Jesus has gone before us. You know, the fullness of God will dwell in those new bodies, those glorified bodies. Can you imagine that? Romans 5:2, though whom we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Colossians 1:5, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of truth of the gospel. The hope, isn't it? That this is why we're supposed to be reading the word daily, aren't we? And get the more of the word in you, because it's so uplifting, so encouraging. All these scriptures, hope, promises, the glorification. Titus 2:13, Paul says, why we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Come on, this anchors the soul. Look at this. Look at this in Hebrews. That by two immutable things in which it is possible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay a hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul. But sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil where our forerunner has entered. For us, even Jesus, having become a high priest forever. Notice it says a forerunner. Jesus has gone before us. In Hebrews, it even talks about, he calls us brethren. Amazing. That he's our example. He's gone before us. Because he died, he fulfilled the plan and purpose that God had for him. Died, rose again. He was the first one to take on immortality. With us to follow. So what should we do, knowing that this is about to take place and can happen in our lifetime? And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. 1 Timothy 4:15, meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them that your progress may be evident to all. I don't know about you, but when you see the plans and purposes of God, it makes you take your salvation a lot more serious than it sometimes does. Sometimes we can fall back into the old nature and the cares of the world that come upon us. But when you think that this event could take place in our lifetime and what would happen to those that are outside the faith, doesn't that spur us on to want to witness, to want to reach more and more? And also what it does, it says that it's possible
If Jesus is our example and with him obeying the Father and ultimately fulfilling the plan and purpose and then being raised from the dead and then going into heaven and experiencing that glorification, well, that is our example. We just follow him. Our example is not just the way he ministered here on earth. We have to go beyond the way he lived his life here on earth. See him now as the risen Christ. He's our example now. And the Bible says, are we not seated in heavenly places? Has he not given us the same authority now? The same authority that he used to overcome, we can now overcome. And we have the hope of glory, glorification, the fullness of God dwelling in us. You know, it says in Corinthians, no eye, no heart, it hasn't entered into us the things that God has prepared for us in that day. We only have a foretaste as we sung today. But as we continue to seek him, as we continue to fulfill the plan and purpose, God will reveal more to us. But isn't it exciting the way we see the things that are being set now on stage, that this could happen more now than ever before? Let it spur us on. Let it encourage us. The blessed hope, a hope of glory. God is going to judge the world, the Bible says in Acts, by the man he is appointed. And it will be a fearful day for those that are outside of Christ, but a great day of celebration for us when that takes place. I encourage you to draw close to him more now than ever before, while this world is getting darker and darker and darker. And just remind yourselves every day, while you see that day approaching, that we will one day be in the presence of the Lord forever, ever, and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Father, I just want to thank you for the promise that we have in you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. One day the Lord Jesus Christ will come back with the angels and that we will be taken out, Lord, and we will be forever with you in glory, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Help us to be reminded of that truth. Every time we go through our trials, we go through tribulations here on earth, help us to see the greater picture, Lord. Not just be reminded of what you've done in our lives, but what you will do ultimately, that we will one day, if we are alive, that mortal will take on immortality. And if we do die in this earth, thank you for the promise that corruption will take on incorruption, Lord. We thank you for that promise, Lord. Strengthen us, Lord, as we continue. In Jesus' name, amen.